κάνουν μισθή τάλα, με εμένα είναι μιλή ξέρω τι μου άνοι, με 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 focus for the individual, its importance and significance, and that everything depends upon very much upon himself, as opposed to outwards external circumstance. On the other hand, if the focus of his activity and that which he tries to attain is only upon himself, and draws the inference that since it's his responsibility and he has for him to do, for him to act, that he has both the ability and the right to act, draws the inference, therefore he should also be individualistic in another sense, should be concerned with his own interests, should be that stream one. This has to do with two kinds of concerns, I think, should be that stream one. One has to do with the ordinary daily concerns with ordinary life, and the person focuses only upon talks about those only in relation to himself, his convenience, his interests, should need that stream one. Therefore, there's reaching out beyond the concern about yourself, concern about others as well. But that could be the personal plane. Part of the plane of Absalom Kamecha, that's shared in Darshan based on Gemara's. Then you have to ask Lech, Kamoch Rav Lerech, Kamoch Hashem, one for the other, one for yourself. It's reaching out to try to others enjoy the amenities that you have. But that is still to think in terms of a narrow personal base, except the person involved is not just yourself, but your neighbors, your fellows, your surroundings, etc. And that is, of course, better than a sheep egocentrism, but still is a narrow perspective and can compare with others. And the other is the two other concentric circles which extend beyond the range of the individuals, whether it's the individual acting for himself or acting for others. And this is the more societal or more communal view. And that's for money, I'm only concerned about the individual, either if it's other individuals. It's not that kind of egoism, egocentrism, but still a very narrow view of needs and purpose and direction. One thinks only of a person here, a person there, rather than thinks of the fabric of society at large, its direction, its character. At a third level, transcending of the last me is not only getting above the individual moves of society, but getting above current interests, current needs of society with which I find myself, having a sense of historical goals, and ultimately, from our perspective, meta-historical goals, not only being concerned with the post over which I find myself, but being concerned beyond that with what lies ahead and how I move the whole ship, so to speak, in which direction. So, Shadir Asumani can be taken as challenging us to look beyond our own needs and our own concerns, but how far beyond their various levels. The last member is Yom Rosh Hashanah Mosai. Here the Vice, the Suri Yomer, or first. Focus here of Rosh Hashanah Matai is upon two levels and two contexts of existence. One is ordinary temporal existence, and the other is post-mortal existence. Rosh Hashanah Matai, if I don't do now, will give me lacham mitati. And the contrast, therefore, of what a person accomplishes in life, in his own life, that which lies beyond, or even Sadiq Yavon Shemesh Shemesh Musik Skut, and this being part of the concern, the fear of death, at least as associated with the Goyen, the story that in his deathbed he cried bitterly, and he was asked why. And the response he gives not that of Yechim Mitzaka, they didn't know where he was headed in Elam Emes, that apparently he felt assured, but that he was being torn loose from a world in which two strings, namely from Kabbalah to the Ben Shalom, the Tzitzis, which is dynamic and creative, spiritually speaking, where human initiative can energize one's life, to a static world which has its own beauty and its own visions, but is static. This perception of the Mishnah of Lakshmi Masai, not while I'm alive, then what will be after my death, casts a sort of post, a very broad pall over the Mishnah. And of course, the Mishnah can be understood otherwise. Not now as opposed to after one's death, but in the context of life itself. And here it may very well be that there's some correspondence between the early part of the Mishnah and the latter part. In fact, the person who does not know Hashem Matai says, well, he's confronted with a challenge, with an opportunity, with a need, but it can be deferred. So someone says, never do today what you can do tomorrow, and never do tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow. And it's a very human characteristic, a very human trait, to defer particularly things which are unpleasant, some later day, some later moment. And that could be simply because of some measure of indolence, the inability or the lack of desire to mobilize one's energies and resources in order to confront challenges. Or it can be in the sense that I can't do it now because I don't have the proper background, the proper context. I'll wait till a better opportunity presents itself, others will be in the picture, etc. In this respect, the Ruach Shavei Matai, in effect, gives the message that you need to act, Vashu Husham, and with whatever resources you have, that you have to do the battles of Ben Shleilo, and don't assume that you have to wait for some other opportunity, not only out of indolence. Sometimes you want to defer till the landscape is better and you have more of an opportunity, more resources available to you. So you too, Rosh Hashanah Masai. This is the situation which you have, and this is what you ask at the front. Do it as best as you can, and don't defer out of a sense that somehow you need to have the proper context and the proper situation. In that respect, there's some relationship one interprets that Rabbi Eliezer Miller we're going to show you the same. Rabbi Eliezer Miller in fact says, taking the Pshuto, that maybe all kinds of assistance the person can get, all kinds of direction, guidance, but bottom is he and his life, he and his situation, and he's the one who has to cope with it. The temptation to flee from responsibility, of course, is very great, and then you say, well, you can't do it because it's more than you can do. You can act without the proper context, proper sustenance, proper support systems. that you wanted to do, but Strasbourg is full of trusted your soldiers, shoulders, and you can't do it. And what Erdin really says is, no, you can't relate, you can't wait for others to help you, you have to cope with the situation as you find it. And this is also the part of what Lakshmi Masai means, not just question, if not, you don't do it with your, in your lifetime, this is the only opportunity that you have, you don't get a second chance, there's no other life beyond that. And within the context of life itself, it's a statement against deferring out of escapism, out of the hope that some of the things are going to get better, but that you need to confront the situation when you, as you find it, and when you find it. In this respect, there's some affinity between the Mishnah here in Rosh Hashanah and the subsequent Mishnah in Obeis, Hatumar Shepaneh, Shnei Hashem Roti Paneh. Except that here I think the reason is a little different from what it is over there. There the presumption seems to be that you have one opportunity or one need to be shown that. The question is, when are you going to do it? You're going to do it now, you're going to do it later. Trust the possibility that maybe you should be shown that now, so then you'll be shown that now and later. Surprise is that arise in the Mishnah. But the focus in any event is on the timing, not on the timing per se, but on the certainty that you'll do it. Put it off, you never know what will happen. And it's not clear the mission of what might prevent you in the implementation later on. It could be subject to reasons you lose your drive, you lose your momentum, you lose your motivation, or whether it may be objective reasons, all kinds of other theories, you never know. But anyway, the presumption is that if you were to know for certain the tiponeh could be perfectly legitimate to defer when you want to be shown that. This mission here, Mashri Emesai, I think maybe they get something beyond that. The deferring itself is problematic. Not because maybe you'll miss the boat and you'll end up not being shown that. But the escapism is such, refusal to face up to a challenge when it confronts you, is morally and psychologically and spiritually problematic. And in effect, what a person does is say, well, you'll have to do it, but let's put it off. That itself is a negative response. If there are legitimate reasons as to why we try something tomorrow, we're much better trying it today, something else. But where there are no such reasons, except for the fact that a person prefers to defer per se, then it's spiritually problematic. And this is what Rosh Hashanah means. Don't waste some other opportunity. The ball is in your court. Put your shoulders to the wheel. There's some memorandum here which I don't disagree with. Well, you may, this does not appear in the Mishnah. To one of the ten of one of the Beitra, the Kom Shil Bi Yohei, the Shamba Glam Malikot Otsi. Then there's another memorandum which the whole memorandum is a little strange because it's very, but my mom is over here. He speaks in the first person. Here he puts something in the mouth. Kav yochad of the ben shalom. Vola beiti, vola beitcha. Keitzad ilu bnei adam shemeshkimin u'marimin u'matek sot u'tim mitoshot. Kedosh baruch hu olam haba. עניין שנאמר בכל יוסף שמולך ברכתיך. מקום שוב. Here again you have a kind of otherworldly note which enters contrary to the passage of the pasuk. Of course, as you know, when you read there's no trace here of anything related to the Mabba. It's very much within the temporal context, terrestrial world. When you read that's where the bracha would be. Here, as in capital moment, before Rosh Hashanah, focuses on what will be the world to come. That's where the bracha will come. If Kiryat Hashemarim will be the Beit Midrash. I don't know why the impulse of this, other than some general otherworldly inclination, but certainly it seems to encounter the pashtus of the pasuk. מקום שבלי אוהב לשום אבי המליכות אותי. יש לסוסי רמאי בגמר אין סוכי, שדור אומר, get up in the morning, and he would want more about the business, more about the office, more about the office, more about his Monday needs. And then he would find that הגלו המליכות אותו לבית המדרש. That is always taken as an example of the degree to which, the extent to which, identifying with world of the Beit HaMidrash and internalizing its value and its significance is A, important in its own right, and B, typical of David HaMelech. What it says is that the calculating part of a person who plans a day, plans a week, plans an agenda, draws schedules, has computer printouts, that's one part of him, and that part is to go to the office and go to the battlefield. Then there's another part of him, which is the more the intuitive self, which is more spiritual in nature, and is drawn almost magnetically to the Beit HaMidrash against what the plan had been. That was not his program was, but he's drawn in a distraction which tries overwhelming, not planned, but it's again intuitive. What that reflects, of course, is perception of Chazal of the David HaMelech, an interest in its own right. David HaMelech, Chazal particularly perceived him as a remarkable combination of a man of action, a man of this world, and a highly spiritual person. My spiritual aspirations, but enormous material needs. One of the most remarkable parts here, so we don't always appreciate the extent to which it is remarkable because it's so familiar, to us. Parakhov Zayin, Dorosh Shemir of Yishri, Achat Shal Me'ashem Atav Akeshi, Teshuvu Yichayak, Zorosh Shemir of Yicholo. We're talking here not about some monastic figure, talking about a person who's very worldly in the sense of being involved in the world, running a government, running an army, running an economy, running a country, and that he does, and presumably does, to a very great extent, probably has little time left over for purely spiritual activities. Ron Barker says that midnight he would get up in order to be able to say some mizmerim, to daven. Until then he was tied up. But during the day, you should say, he was tied up. Nonetheless, this is the aspiration, this is the yearning. Should the opportunity present itself, it's so that he would naturally gravitate when other pressures don't bear it upon him. In this respect, the element of internalization, which is what is reflected, is of course critical. And it's a notion which is central in our experience as Mechanchim or as Mechanchim in a broader sense. There was still this connection, Sukim, Parshas Vayelech, δεν είναι difficult context. It's one of the sharpest textures in the Torah. Some respects more threatening, more intimidating. Now we share Pashas Kisavu. After the Sukkim Bechorah, people of Yom HaHuva Zavtim, it's not even a mehem, or Yom HaHuva Zavtim, 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 or Yom HaHuva Zavtim. Following that, there's a remarkable turnaround, and the turnaround, maybe not so much within the context of the Sukkim, but certainly where we read them. V'atak yitulchem tashira azov, v'labda b'yisra sima b'fiyem, למען תראי השירה הזו בעת בעזבי ישראל. השירה היא סוזו משירת תאזינו, a very difficult, intimidating שירה as well, but, or in broader sense, to have a general is called שירה. In relation to it is the threefold mission. The Vashal and Gubb, besides the Moshe and presumably to Adam. And that Aram is not only here, but Moshe and his Pamalia. Kitu lechem to Shira Zot, Lamdad b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyah. Three different things. To record it, so it's not part of some hazy recollection. To teach it, so it's fully understood and appreciated. And sima b'fiyah, see to it that not only at the one level, familiarity, another level, internalization. Follows the next two psukim is a pasuk which has an account of what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Bechtov Moshe at the Shira Zov Yom Ahu, Vayilamdad B'nei Yisrael. No mention of Sima B'Piyam. My understanding is that Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in very specific, relatively narrow challenges. Writing and teaching. Apparently, internalization is not something he attained for one or two possible reasons, either because it was not beyond his ability to even build the Reish Rabbeinu to do that with Klal Yisrael, or perhaps because we're dealing here with his final day or days, couldn't be done in a couple of days. And the following pasuk says, "Vaytav Yeshua benu b'yom chazak v'yemach, ki ata tavi b'nei Yisrael shishbati lev orchi yeyimach." Take a look at the pasuk. The Meshul tells Yeshua, this is about, the Meshul speaking, not Moshe Rabbeinu. The Meshul tells Yeshua is need to internalize Sima b'fihem, not for a day, and it's not something which can be done with the Arab president. The Arab president, they live in some kind of artificial bubble, Machne Yisrael, which is the equivalent of Yerushalayim, the Davis, Tmei Mishir, Mitzorayim, Mishulach Misham, Kanit Kachim Kana Maisa Sheni, and all of it, if it were Maisa Sheni. But that doesn't tell you whether they're internalized or not, because they're living in a Jew in a giant besmedlish. They come to us, Israel, have to cope with the problems concerning setting up a state, setting up an economy, confronting enemies. Then it'll be that job of Sima B'Fiyah will be left to Yeshua. It's left to Yeshua, of course, in a broader sense, left to each person individually, each community collectively. But at any rate, both the importance and difficulty of Sima B'Fiyah, I always think of it as being reflected in this parsha. What the Gemara says here with regard to David HaMelech, what he always says here, also with regard to every individual, that Yaakov shel Rabbi Yohev, Hashem b'Adonai melichot oti, expression of love, expression of relationship, expression of the person's acting to that moment of duty, but of existential commitment and involvement and engagement. This is Torah B'tiyan Abona Veikha. The interesting thing is, in the Maima which continues, Kom Shri Yohei Shri Amalikot Tikei Tzad. אלו בני אדם שמניחים כספם וזהבם ועולים לרגל הכביל פני שכילם במקדש ודוש ברוך הוא מתשמרם בתוך מחניהם שנאמר ולהחמוד יש תעצחה ולכי אירופ את השם הולכייך את זה. The what you speak of here is as the chattis of the Pasuk, a person kind of meets with chiyuk and semich is bitochen Beshem will take care of him, and there's a direct promise to that effect. This is very narrowly based. Just to go away for a couple of days, go away on vacation. Don't worry, the Beshem will take care of you. You won't suffer any hardship. But proceeds. The face of it is much more broadly based. Doesn't simply relate to an individual going away for a week, if that long, and what will happen to his property, to his home, to his farm, while he's gone. This, we would say, this is, describes a person who, as I've said before, contrary even to what he had planned, finds that he's drawn by love, by commitment. That's much more the person of Elevagel because he includes me Elevagel. So here again, a bit of a problem understanding the relationship between the Maimel and the Bokel quoted. I skip over here. This was interesting Mishnah because the suggestion Shammai associate with Hillel, not with Shammai. Shammai is presumably the captain. And yet, this is part of what he preaches. That, of course, we understood in various ways. Right to here is one understanding. Let's see what it says in the Bryce. Kitzad, Malamesh, Mishumadam, Dabam, Epicham, Vika, Midrash, Ad Yasot, Arai, Yasot, Kiaba. Mashalamad Adam, Yasel, Yamed, Achirim, Yasu, Shulmatot, Mishmatem, Lasot. כן, ואז הוא אומר, כי הכין את דברו לדרוש את תורת השם לעשות, ואחר כך ללמד ישראל, ובישראל חוק ומשפט. First he had, yeah, come back to the organization, not that personally, and then, actually, commonly and collectively. But the bright that stands here is not where usually this mission is understood. Nobody was, I said, Chatzikeva, sense of being creative, not just make it happenstance, whenever we happen to have some free time, but make it something which is permanent, and also some sense that not only that in terms of your schedule it's permanent, the things which can be permanent in a person's schedule, every night at 9 o'clock he watches the news. But not keva in sense, in the axiological sense. And that's something which is part of this fixed world, fixed order, as opposed to transitory and transient elements. So So nobody has to sit on the keva. Keva is opposed to avoy, with possibly a quantitative dimension there, but not necessarily. Maybe things which a person does, to which he devotes much more time, fundamentally in terms of his worldview and the structure of his life, his values, Saroy is supposed to care. Anyway, that's the direction that we look at in terms of Aseh Torah Kha Keva, your Torah, your involvement in Talmud Torah, seated in Skavua. And that, of course, is a qualitative rather quantitative dimension. And always the difference between things that a person does as part of the basic structure of his life, that which he does, even if he devotes more time to the latter, but it's leisure time. Something which he does, not out of commitment, not out of regularity is missing. And whenever he has the opportunity, and as it happens, he has much opportunity, but it's not something to which he feels bound, feels committed. To say the Chatz V'Keva is to see that there's a commitment there out of a sense of its value. But that has to do with our ordinary understanding, not with the Torah, but with Talmud Torah. Perhaps the Torah that one learns, that's a different issue. Maybe it's ephemeral, maybe it's fleeting, maybe he forgets. But meanwhile, the learning is a fixed pole of his life. Here, the emphasis is rather something else. The Torah itself should not be ephemeral, but there should be an element of permanence. I don't know what Aliyah Torah first exclusively. I think maybe two things here. One is, see to it that your attitude towards something is not so that you happen to have come across, or even a newspaper article, magazine article, you happen to have come across it, but see to it that it is for you something which is permanent, so the permanent is the points you attach to it in relation to it. But secondly, in terms of what you do for that Torah, that enter the canon, as it were, the world of Torah, and that be something which someone happened to say, said it, and then move that to something else. This so-called The Quest for Permanence, the title of a book, a very good book on Wordsworth, by men of the EDA Church, is a theme which, of course, in the artistic world, particularly those concerned with music, very often comes up. Today, musical experience can be much more permanent. Everything is recorded, one kind of recording, another kind of recording, so things last. But back recently, in the mid-19th century, Brown in particular was very much concerned with the fact that, as opposed to the visual arts, something lasts, you present it, you create it, as opposed to literary arts, the musical world, you play the symphony, you play the sonata, you play the toccata, and that's it. It's a one-time experience. It's non-repetitive in certain respects. So from a certain point of view, that gives it standing, it's singular, unique. Another point of view, there's a certain fragility about it, in the sense of loss, so much of that going to waste. Something of that, I think, perhaps is here. Find a permanent niche with the criteria. You heard a shiur, it's a good shiur, see that it's recorded, see it doesn't get lost. And this, therefore, is not a commitment to oneself and one's involvement in learning, but a commitment to tell that one has heard, see to it that it has a kavis. I don't know whether and to what extent this is put in the mouth of Shammai. Shammai, of course, before Torah and Shiva Peh was written down, except in here and there, small gilas. The author always thought nothing, whatever it was, certainly existed after Torah was written down. if he's putting these thoughts into Mount Shammai, then the need for making them kebab was that much greater. Everything was oral, so it was in effect like music. You heard it, and that was it. Therefore, the need to make it kebab was much greater. But it'll press that point. Maybe it will be that this is being stated from the perspective of the Mechaber of the Yosef of Notan, in which case that need was not as great as it might have been prior to the recording of Taylor. So, by the way, this is the sequence here. Mashabar Adam Yasir Yilamid La'achirim. Quotes the pasuk in Ezra that this is what he did first. Echil libo levo lidrosh tovat Hashem la'asot, and then lamed yitzvei chok u'mishpat. There may be two explanations for this. One pragmatic, and the other is axiological. The priority, the precedence of one's own learning for yilamid la'achirim, maybe in no way reflect the respective importance to what's one primary responsibility as opposed to secondary or tertiary responsibility, but a practical consideration. How can he teach that which he himself doesn't fully know? So first he has to learn himself, both to learn the material, to learn the methodology, develop a world of concepts, and then he can go teach others. He also be that this is not simply a technical and practical need, but some expression of what is one's primary responsibility and what is secondary. And here, of course, we counter issues with regard to which Dalia Machshava certainly disagreed. To what extent is a person's responsibility, first and foremost, to himself, to his own spiritual development, his own intellectual development, his own linkage with Taylor, and to what extent his responsibility to Klal Yisrael. There is, of course, a certain kind of spiritual egoism, spiritual egocentrism, which can lead a person to focus upon himself and ignore the needs of the others in his community. This goes back to the question I raised before about historical responsibility, Shani Latsmi Mwani. On the other hand, there's much to be said for the person who created you. The first responsibility is to yourself. See to it that you are an Eved Hashem. Secondarily, in light of it, Tikkun Atzmi is Tikkun Olam. But if you have to choose between the two, should focus upon Tikkun Atzmi. Of course, there's a certain point of view in Rome which I personally very much have identified, which says that being concerned with Tikkun Olam is itself one aspect of Tikkun Atzmi. The person is very selfishly oriented, very egocentric, so it's not that he's perfect, but everybody around him is down the tube. That's a moral and spiritual fault as well, and therefore he himself is imperfect. So he has to extend and reach out to others in concern, but that not for, just for their own, for their sake. They are the immediate recipients of his spiritual bounty, but for his own sake. And so therefore there's a some degree of coalescence to do it for himself, doing it for others. But still, the issue of priority exists. The Rav was always very insistent upon his priority here. Say the Rambam was very clear on this. Person's responsibility is to take care of yourself. And that was also the practical advice that he would give people. But of course, in relation to this, the different points of view, and Rambam has little to say about historical goals and historical responsibility. I think the Ramban and the Kuzari have much more to say. And indeed, Meir Buchan is very individually catered, focused, speaks almost 2 hours of molding the ideal moral of his religious personality. Mamish, the last parak, Mamish reminded himself that the Pasti Yom Yod, he says that Mitaleh, so he looked at Yosh Vaskosh Vosek Baris, the Pasti Yom Yashem. There he deals with the practical aspects and in that respect, social aspects, as opposed to the highly intellectualized vision that you had before. But this is not something which one should say up or down about either side of the broad spectrum, all kinds of intermediate positions. Simply note that here it may be that there's some some sense of technical precedence or some expression of priority in terms of values to which you pay more attention. No matter how they, things are familiar that tzaddikim as opposed to shoyim, Rameh says tzaddikim omrim ma'at v'osim ba'veh, Roshim omrim ba'veh v'osim ma'at ena v'osim, Rameh says tzaddikim omrim ma'at v'osim ba'veh, Roshim v'osim ba'avram ba'vinu, Shabbat ha'malachim patatim shodim v'di ayom, מלכה פתר עושה זו לבכם, יכולה הרי בשר עבור מלכה שווית, שלך עושה לו 3 שברים, 9 סולות, etc. etc. And this is discussed in detail. אבל הקדוש ברוך הוא אמר מה אתה עושה הרבה, שאין מה שמלאו זה עדיין איזה רבה יעשה להם, עבדו מידה הרבה משנה, וכדי לשאול לו את הרבה יחוש גדול. זה אומר לו על הבדלת ונון, אבל כשאחרונה, כשפרה הקדוש ברוך הוא עושה של ישראל, בפרק 72 מוציאות שנאמר את סג'ו. This was that which characterized the tzaddikim and the shoyim again the period of Avraham Avinu and the shoyim אומרים הרבה אפילו מה אתם אינם עושים שעושינו בעקרון שאמר אברהם איך זה הושיב כסף ומצל ואחרונם ששאלו את הכסף וישמע אברהם לעקרון וישקול עבור לעקרון etc. כמו אתם ישוע לראות was getting it down to the last penny, just who was getting it. All right, in terms of the message of this, it's more or less self-evident, poses no problem. Essentially, what the Rashi does is simply fleshes it out to some extent by giving living examples from Tanakh. Here, the Rashi says, when you follow, so I finished the product, Ketzad, this normally we understand not to involve a relationship which a person is giving or receiving, but in the course of ordinary daily social intercourse, meet a person, receive nicely, and be churlish, etc. Again, put yourself out there. But here, there's added twist given to it that this applies even in relationships. Which one is given, one is received. Rabbeshim, the Talmud of Chavruch, the Talmud of Shabbalam, Parat Kushim Baaretz, Malala of Tufil, the Talmud of Klum. Avala of Kabelet Chavruch, the Sefer India Fot, the Talmud of Klum, Malala of Katub, the Talmud of Klum, the Talmud of Shabbalam. This is clearly as a message in terms of value, but not a halachic message. What it says is that good cheer is more important to a person than times of matanot tovot. Of course, how much you, to what extent you'd be willing to exchange matanot tovot for good cheer depends on what kind of person he is and also what his situation is. If he's in dire distress, dire straits, he will forego the good cheer and prefer the matanot tovot shebo olam. If he's well off, but he doesn't need your matanot, the situation, of course, will be different. I don't take it that the Braisa here is superseding the ordinary pshat of the Mishnah, but adding this additional dimension. Where a halachic element comes in here Сдвигат лице в страх. Рамбам Кури Павел Хасмат Саним יגידו לו חדל, קורתים סתכל על אני בסי פנים רעות ופניו פושות בקרקע אפילו תן אלף זהובים איבד זכותו והפסידה אל נותן בסי פנים יפות ובשמחה ומתראה לי מה צורתו שאומר לו בכיתי לקשי יום עברת נשי לאביון פסקת איוב מדבר עוד איבד תחלונים וניחומים שנאמר ואיב אלמנה ארני There are two elements here, I think. Islam speaks of a tale of a serpent, a photo of a simcha. Chinuch, when it talks to the mitzvah of stoker, the kotaret of the mitzvah is that's going to take staka, the simcha. And this is reflected not so much in the parsha, in Bahar, the two parshas that they were there to stoker. Parsha in Bahar, is relatively limited in one respect, very broad in another. It's broad in the sense that it does not focus upon consanguinity, Gyoteshu were included. It's not limited in time and space in terms of population that you serve. But what you have over there in terms of the mitzvah is also limited. It's on the verge of collapse. See it doesn't collapse. But the other imam is actable, you have to show the chayimah. Parshin V'A is very different. Speaks of tzedakah in a communal context. Chicha niyecha v'yoncha ba'atzecha. Much more parochial in that respect. For that very reason, much more intensive to kind of demand that is made. The love, you know, to make the point of the Tavach Yuri Avion, which are tiftach lo afri miyar pamim, de machsoro, sheikhsoro, etc. So, in this parasha, suppose that this is the parasha in Bahar, there's some still relates to the relationship which you have to the Oni, which there in Bahar hardly exists, if it's actable. Support him, that's about it. Here, there's an interpersonal element. His hands are outstretched, and you give him the Machzor, etc. Then what your feelings are, how you relate to it. And in this sense, there's also an element of Simcha, not taught, at least not of Snefesh, and Tonti Tain Lo, when you're out of Babcha Betitcha Lo, Gnad Vazir Vach Shukem Rav Asir Chav Ashtech Yadech. Best of recollection, no, the Iran of Babcha is not included in the in the Alavin, Lo Tametz, Lo Tikpots are, but there is the theme of Sagi, Mesimcha is there. Now that has to do, maybe to some extent, but that seems to be the essence of the pasuk, not so much with how this will impact upon the Oni. Again, the Yeravavcha make it feel worse. It has to do with the very thing. The kind of person one should be, a person who is glad to share, glad to give, who feels for others, is sensitive to the needs of others. That's part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. The chovis to speak of tzedakah is a sort of kiyum shebelev. The ma'aseh mitzvah is the giving, there's a kiyum shebelev in tzedakah as well. But even if one doesn't go that far, certainly the emphasis of the Yehuda Bapu is clear. But that is to, again, not too late. How the Oni will experience giving the tzedakah. It may be that you give the tzedakah in a way that he doesn't sense the Yerah L'Bavcha. But the Ho'alevav is there nonetheless. The Rambam speaks of two things. On the tail of the same opening of thought, u'v'simcha. And the simcha may be part of what the Oni is to perceive. You like to give, you want to give. Or it may be something independent. The symphony of your thoughts is what he sees when you give him. The simcha is your internal feeling and relation. But in the context of the Rambam, unlike what I said before previously about the chinuch, the early part of the halacha, that to give to the Oni that that certainly has to do with the quality of tzedakah. In that respect, this is a halachic formulation that we have over here in a presumably non-halachic or non-halachic context. First relationships that becomes from the Sunday of Purim, that's a matos that you give, statement how this impacts on how the matana is experienced. All right, we'll stop here. Please, we finish the pelek. I have a soft spot for Oyster and Nosson. I think it's a blend of something which is partly narrative, partly midrashim, and yet focuses clearly on something philosophical of the moral message of Mishnayos and Novos. So it's an opportunity to work through the Mishnayos, but embellished and expanded in a great degree of variety. And of course, at times there's some areas which are very largely expanded, some we started earlier on. And that respect, I think, is the most interesting challenging statement.